All right, we'll try this again. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquitt meeting at 12th floor of the Capitol today, September 11th. It's approximately 11 o'clock for the administrative portion of our meeting. We're joined today by our friends from Moldova. Just a note, we hadn't talked about it before, but you'll notice that Esther has got the light on there. So everything we're doing is not only being broadcast locally, but it's across the Internet. We're working with video conferencing so we can bring in witnesses that way. It's just everything we do is transparent and public record. So we have a few items on consent. I would move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks, Darrell. In this portion of the administrative portion, we have the staff experts come up. We do our scheduling. We'll talk about things that don't quite need a work session that hopefully we can finish in 5 or 10 minutes. So that's the next portion of the meeting. We go into discussion. And our first item for discussion is 2013 Mining and Reclamation Award. Dina, you got this one?
Yeah, I do. Jim's gone today, so I'll be taking this. Each year, the commission presents a Mining and Reclamation Award. It's usually presented at the annual meeting of the Lignite Energy Council, and the commission's been giving this award for about 20 years now, and it can be either a self-nomination from one of the mining companies, or if we don't receive any nominations, staff makes recommendations to the commission. So this year we did not receive any nominations from the mining companies themselves, and staff was kind of queried as to projects. Normally the award is given to some innovative reclamation technology or special achievement, but it can also be given to an individual. And this year, we had trouble coming up with something, and we all kind of put our minds together and came up with nominating John Dwyer, retiring CEO of the Lignite Energy Council. So I guess that would be our recommendation. And if you concur, we will proceed with the next meeting with the official. And it would be presented at the LEC on the noon luncheon on October 2nd, I believe.
Okay. Well, that certainly sounds reasonable and a good choice to me.
You know, as a portfolio holder and having worked legislatively and over the years with Mr. Dwyer and also coming from that area, And looking back at the old days of coal mining where things weren't reclaimed and all the changes that have occurred over the years. And I know that a whole variety of people have been involved in making that transition happen. But certainly the Lignite Energy Council has been a key player in it. John actually came and did some work up here in these offices, somehow affiliated and helped write a lot of the rules that we have and has been involved in helping the companies keep up their end of doing this work over the years. And with his retirement this year, I just think this is a very well-timed and well-deserved honor that we can bestow on him.
I think it's a wonderful choice.
Okay, so you'll do like you guys always do, write it up and give us something fancy to say at the luncheon?
You bet.
Okay, thank you. All right, discussion B2, NSP Wind Farm Advanced Determination of Prudence and Public Convenience and Necessity Application Staff Advocacy Staff Update. Sarah.
Yes. In this regard, we came before you a few meetings ago, maybe it was the last meeting, and we indicated that we were interested in hiring a consultant to study some of our concerns. But at this point in time, we've done further research and have some concerns about the length of the time that it might take to undertake a study. And then because of the price of these contracts, if there would be really enough that could be found through such a study to make a difference in these contracts.
Okay, so you're basically saying you have enough to do it in-house for these?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would look to our attorney, Alana, on this one, but isn't this basically their decision? I mean, advocacy staff,
I think it is, except that it's predicated on Mike running the concept of a fairly large IRP model study and a lot of money, and how much would the fees be or not be. That was on admin. And so I'm thinking it's back on admin just because that the staff does not want to leave you with the misimpression of what they told you last time is still what they're thinking. It isn't that they always need your permission to decide how to approach a case. Am I saying this right?
Yes, Harris? You are saying it exactly right. Better than I could have done. Thank you.
All right. Well, okay. I don't have any questions, I guess.
So staff has decided the timing and the cost are the cost is too high and the timing is not right, where you cannot do the study, or what's talk more about why you've, it sounds like, kind of given up on looking for another model, correct?
The models are out there, but it would take at least a month to put the RFP out there and get the responses and all that information back. And it is possible that we could get some preliminary findings, say, December timeframe. But then what if those preliminary filings still show these contracts are cost-effective? Have we left the company then with enough time to still go ahead with their decisions?
So it's kind of the federal PDC credit deadline that's too short.
That's some of the concern that we have.
Okay. So will you're just going to pursue the regular approach then? In-house?
Yes. I'm working on some testimony, and we're on our third set of potential data requests that we will be sending to the company for information.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah.
Sarah, to Julie's point, though, of it's your case to make, but I feel zero pressure to do this thing by December 31st, just so you know. I feel that we do it right. So we don't use other deadlines to drive our decisions in other cases. Why would we do it here? So you make the case however you want to do, and I appreciate the update, but there's no pressure for me or to have this done by December 31st. So take that for what it's worth, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
For our colleagues from Aldovia, when we go through things like rate cases, we split our staff. Sarah is part of our staff, but she's been detailed to represent 100% consumers. So what she's doing is her own defining of this case. And so she has complete autonomy. And when the hearing comes, Alana will be representing, helping me out. Sarah will be representing the customer. And then the company will come in. So it's the way of putting almost an extra layer of refinement and screening on some of the data. And it's worked well for many years, Alana? How many years?
25.
So, all right. Thank you, Sarah.
To further clarify there, the company provides a filing fee when they apply to have these projects approved. And out of that filing fee that the company provides, we pay for all the research needed to be done from the consumer side of things. So the company is actually paying for somebody to analyze the case and basically shoot holes in it.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Julie. All right, item B3, Ryan, we've withdrawn that one. Okay, does that mean they're going to build it anyway, or it's their call? I know it's been withdrawn, but and I read your memo, but help me tie that up a little bit.
All I'll say is they have retained North Dakota Council, who will likely advise them going forward on this matter is how to address their achieved goals in this matter.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. I don't want to give exclamation on everything, but we were talking earlier about jurisdiction. Oftentimes companies won't know whether we have jurisdiction or not on it. It's gray area, so they'll come to us for a jurisdictional determination, and then we make a decision, and sometimes people agree and sometimes they don't. So, all right, thank you, Ryan. B4, hearing procedures and pre-hearing conference. Zach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a brief update. And I agree, it is somewhat strange, but we did receive a request from the administrative law judge, Bonnie Fetch, who now since has apparently switched to ALJ Hoberg for this hearing coming up on the 19th down in Adams County on the Thunder Spirit wind farm. But a pre-hearing conference was held this past Monday, and ALJ Fetch wanted to discuss with the attorneys for you, as well as the attorney for Thunder Spirit, procedural aspects of the hearing. And specifically, the discussion was more in line with whether or not pre-filed testimony of the company would be filed with the PSC in advance of the hearing, and then whether or not that would be read by the witness, followed by questions of the witness, or whether it would be simply summarized and then questions following. The ALJ stated her preference for a summary of the witness followed by questions, and at that point I wanted to get input, obviously, from you as to what our position would be, as I did not have that. It was not clear to me at that point. And I indicated to ALJ Fetch that I would be doing that today and would be sending a letter if warranted, essentially. So I think really the discussion is whether or not the commission feels comfortable with simply accepting pre-filed testimony, which is fine, but whether or not it should be actually read in total for the public to hear at the hearing, or whether it should be simply summarized and then questions presented by attorneys, by the commission, by the hearing officer. So I think that really summarizes the discussion, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have as to that issue.
Zach, and I think we know what sparks this is that long hearing, of course, but just
yes.
two questions just to start with is, one is, isn't it the company's case to make how they want, and so it's up to them what they do? And second is, you can't require someone to file, I don't believe, to do pre-filed testimony because that's the point of the hearing.
Right, and I agree with you. I don't think that we can necessarily require pre-filed testimony. It's been requested by the ALJ, who now is not the ALJ, so I'm not sure how that plays out. I admit it is not standard to have a switch in an administrative law judge at this point. As far as, yes, it is the company's burden. At the same time, though, I think that the commission does have a duty, obviously, to the public to allow it to hear what the company is saying, so that if an individual who perhaps would be deemed a protestant under our code would seek to ask questions during the hearing, that they may be permitted to.
Otherwise, there'll be a summary. We'll ask questions, and then the public will get up and say something, and the company will have to recall someone to answer it. I guess this is a good discussion for the three of us, but I would like the idea of tell company that, listen, you have a max of 3 hours to make your case. And if that 3 hours is not done, then we'll take public comment. And if you still need to come back to your case, we'll take it after the public. So we give the public some expectation of time for them to testify, because I think that's the real driver that Judge Fetch is looking at, is that she doesn't want the public to sit around all day long not knowing right. when they're going to do things. So could we say, company, it's your case to make, but by no later than, we'll pick a time for every hearing, 2 o'clock, we'll start public testimony, and then if they wrap up before, we'd start earlier. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Yeah, and it's perhaps a good thought. I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable with setting necessarily a hard deadline or recommending to set a hard deadline, because then we're subject to an objection by the company and saying, well, we weren't able to present our evidence, and because of that, we weren't able to tell our story, essentially, which is not what we want to do, I don't think. But in this instance, I'm not sure that is the time constraints is really going to be an issue. At the pre-hearing conference, Mr. Mann, who's the attorney for Thunder Spirit, indicated that he believed that a total of possibly three witnesses, maybe two, maybe three, from the company would testify, and that their testimony was estimated to be about 2 hours. So I don't know that we're going to run into the problem in this case, but certainly it may come up again for the commission in another case. I don't know if that answers your question.
See what Randy and Julie have to.
This really gets to the whole goal here of providing a more consumer-friendly way to get involved, and for making people sit through 4 hours of testimony from a company, and then or longer, 8 hours, and then have time to give their public input just doesn't work for most people. So we have a lot of hearings. We have a lot of public hearings. This is an effort to tweak what we're doing to make it more friendly for the public. So I really strongly support this, anything that we can do to improve this process. The public comes to these hearings thinking, huh, here's my chance to talk. This is a public hearing. And then they sit there for forever while a bunch of attorneys talk, and it's frustrating. So I think we have to do something to move things along without, you know, forcing the companies to, you know, skip stuff or not make their whole case. When they read their testimony, it takes a very long time, and we have it all that we can read. So I think summarizing it is...
That's the problem, I think, is it?
Yeah, if they pre-file it, but they also... We've had hearings where the attorneys just ask the witnesses questions, and then they respond in their own words rather than just reading word for word what's been submitted. And it quite honestly gives the experts who the witnesses are a chance to really shine, and it also is much more interesting for the public because they're actually hearing a natural conversation versus somebody reading from a text that was written probably not by the person that's reading it. So it's not that conducive to great. Well, it's probably true, Alana.
Well, what can
devil's advocate here. I'm sorry.
I think you're going to hear all of us say the same thing, but I think it's the recommendation back from legal about either you think we can or can't limit their testimony. If we can't, then we have to let them go. And I think that's, if we can, then I think we should.
Right. And just a little bit of devil's advocate to Commissioner Fedorchak's comments, and I don't disagree, but as to hearing read testimony, in the civil practice, you have depositions that are read by the non-person if they're not available, and that a jury would sit and be glazed over at the end. So I understand the concern. However, the flip side of that is what happens if a person in the audience says, "Well, I didn't have an opportunity to see the pre-filed testimony." In this instance, the pre-filed testimony is going to be. The deadline is the 16th, Monday, is that right?
Yes.
The 16th, so it won't be on the website until the 17th.
If it works, yeah.
And all best case scenarios. So the 17th, you have the hearing on the 19th. What if someone would come up and say, "Well, I'm objecting because I wasn't able to review the pre-filed testimony, and at the hearing all that was given was a summary, and in the summary this portion X was not included in that summary, so I didn't know to ask a question about that." And that would potentially subject the commission to an appeal and someone objecting as to the procedure that was done, and that potentially could send it back. And I know, yes, us lawyers sometimes cause these problems, but I think that it potentially would be a due process concern for the commission. So while
but let me ask yeah, this though, the yeah. summary of the pre-filed testimony is a summary, or the pre-filed testimony is a summary of their application, right? I mean, they're not providing a bunch of new information. So all of that information that's in their testimony should be available on the website long before the hearing.
Yeah, and that very well could be true. That very well could be true.
They shouldn't be bringing new information to the hearing that nobody has ever seen or heard before.
Right, and I think, and I don't disagree with you, Commissioner Fedorchak, but at the same time, we don't know that for sure, and we can't control what someone would potentially argue on some type of appeal. If they were later represented by an attorney, and this attorney was creative in his or her arguments, they would be able to potentially craft something. Now, whether or not it would be successful or not is a whole other issue as well, but it would subject it to review, which probably isn't something that the commission, you know, would be too interested. I think, and I believe in discussing with Alana, I think probably the gold standard here would be to, and our recommendation to staff would be to read the testimony into the record. Yes, it does take time. It does perhaps make some of the audience members glaze over, but I believe that it is the gold standard here, and it reduces the chance of any type of appeal or objection to evidence that was not available at that hearing.
What's the purpose of these hearings?
The purpose of
why
the
do
hearing,
we have them?
Sure. The purpose of the hearing, I think, overall is certainly for the commission to review and make sure that the application of the company is within all of the statutory requirements and regulations that are set forth by the legislature and this commission. And those have to be met, certainly, by the company. At the same time, though, the public does have input, obviously, as to what is going to go in and does have, the right, obviously, to weigh in on those specific issues that the company are being brought. So if that arguably is prevented by the reading of a summary rather than testimony, then that could be cause for a challenge. And not to latch on to anything, but it was mentioned in describing to our friends from Moldova that this body sits almost as a court. And I will tell you, in the civil practice, there is no reading of summaries into evidence in any court that is permitted, unless it's by stipulation, and that is very rare. So there typically is not going to be a situation where testimony is going to be summarized and not stated. It calls into question the ability for cross-examination as well. I apologize for going on and
let's say Randy hasn't hit his piece yet.
You know, I think there's a middle ground here. First of all, I think if we really set down some type of a restriction, they will just counter by not turning in the pre-filed testimony, and I would really miss that. And so I don't want that to happen. However, as an example, and I have to believe that in a discussion in advance, the attorneys and the judge can work this out. When we had our agenda items, I'm looking at my first one, which had to do with a notice of violation on a mine. And every 2 weeks, the agenda items that I have, either reclamation or licensing, writes up kind of a memo so I'm refreshed on what's happened in this case and the dates and what things happened. But I go through with the highlighter and I eliminate some of it. In this one, there was a whole series of dates, what happened here, 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 here. I don't need to repeat the year 2013 eight or nine times when we started in May and worked till today. So I took all those 2013s out. I don't need to repeat North Dakota every single time. We know we're talking about North Dakota after the first time. And the one that has bugged me in previous hearings is, I understand the importance of having witnesses' credentials listed, because we may end up in a tough situation and we're trying to figure out, and here one person has a PhD and many years of hands-on experience in a certain area, and another person has absolutely no background in that. They disagree, and where are you going to put the most weight? Probably based on those credentials. But we don't need to hear them go on and on and on of everything they've done since high school for 15 minutes. It's down on paper. Skip that part. It's important to be in the pre-filed. We don't need, everybody doesn't need to hear it and cheer on their wonderful credentials. So I just think they can do a lot to cut down on that time without changing their case or getting their points out. And then lastly, in the case of our case that went so long, the company decided to hold off on some of their witnesses and let the public have a chance. And, you know, there are some times when I do think the witnesses ought to be first, because you don't want to spend a lot of time having the public respond to something that the company decided not to do. The public should get to hear what the real proposal is before the public feedback on it is, not what they've heard uptown. However, some of the detailed things, you know, that day we heard about some things having to do with electromagnetic fields and such. That I don't think hurt anything by delaying that until after the public had their feedback over the importance of view shed and historic artifacts that might be in the area. The public wasn't waiting to counter them on electromagnetic fields. And so I just think in Minnie's case, the company knows really which things don't need to be articulated, just need to be on the record, and which things, if it is going on long, could be put off until after the public response.
Julie?
I have.
Last chance.
Yep. Now, and I apologize, but this is an important matter. We have a problem with public participation in this country and in this state, and this is part of it. People just don't feel like they can find their way through the legal process. And so I want to be part of making that easier in our state. And I think that there are some reasonable steps we can take without restricting the company from making their case to make it more public friendly. So if we have to offer guidelines to the companies to say, here's what we prefer. We prefer to have pre-filed testimony in advance to see. We prefer that you summarize it, not read it into the record. We prefer that you bring some copies to the hearing. That would have been extremely helpful in Watford City or Kildare for the folks that were in the, sat there for 8 hours listening to have some copies of what the company was providing. It's just some guidelines. Like, you don't have to do it, but here's what we think works the best for an effective public hearing. And then I also agree with Commissioner Kalk that you give the company a block of time on the front end to say, here's, you know, or however long it is, but you set a time so you can tell people at the beginning of the hearing at approximately, give or take, you know, a half an hour, 2 o'clock, we're going to be taking public comment. And then they can choose to stay, they can choose to go, they can get, we can refer them to the website where the complete information is available, so they won't have any reason to say, I couldn't get access to this information. It's out there. All this information is already there. And then we've offered some methods by which the public can reasonably, in their busy schedules, involve themselves in these very important proceedings in their communities.
So can you guys rough something like that up? And then, Lana, you do the your review of it and see we're making sure we're meeting all the requirements. Because I, and now we've beat this dead horse pretty good here, but I think part of it is we need to do a better job of scheduling. Like, we know a rate case is going to take 3 days.
Yes.
So we set the expectation that everybody's going to be there 3 days. For this power line hearing, we probably should have expected the expectation to be 2 days in Williston, 2 days in Kildare. So it's a shared responsibility. So we can do like Julie said, put some guidelines together, get to the companies, and then go from there. But we have to do a better job of scheduling these because we know these power line hearings are going to take a long time. So
can
if you
make a very short comment, please?
Sure.
And back to the question about what's the purpose of the hearing, there's two purposes. One is public, and one is the burden, the company meeting its burden. And that information, unless they make it part of the record, the previous information that's available to everybody and has been sitting around for 3 months, you know, since the app was filed, is not part of the record unless somebody makes it part of the record. So I think the theory that the company does need to understand that it's their case and their burden, I think telling them they have to summarize would be a huge mistake. Telling them we want to be sure to accommodate the public, we want better organization, we want to know the three main topics, and we'll schedule the public input on that. Those are all good ideas. I would hesitate to tell them to summarize because the record at the hearing, our statute says you have to have a hearing under 2832. The record at the hearing, sworn and subject to cross-examination, is the only information you can use to make a decision. That's why we tell the public to come. So I think scheduling, perhaps going up a different evening for to get public questions before the company's hearing would have been an idea, but we learned that after the fact. So those are all good ideas.
Well, we've got more power line hearings coming.
Hesitate yeah. with the summary part.
Why don't we just let's stop here for this today. You guys get this roughed out, and then if we have to do a work session, we'll do it. But for your case, Zach, I think you got the guidance. Talk to your counterparts and figure something out.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right. No, thank you. Perfect example, huh? The point of these discussions is a quick 5-minute thing at some time.
Not half an hour.
Half an hour.
Well, the lawyer is going to be more than 5 minutes.
But, I mean, you can see how we struggle to find that balance. Okay. Item B5, Commissioner Fedorchuk, MDU gas meter testing program.
This will be less than 5 minutes. So there's some the gas meter testing program has fallen behind schedule a little bit. MDU is behind. I wanted to, as a portfolio holder, Pat and I were visiting with how, what do we want to do with them on this. I suggested that he and I meet with them and kind of talk about it to say, what's going on? You're behind by a year. What are you doing to get up to speed? You know, what are the issues, et cetera, and then report back to you guys. But I wanted to make sure that you didn't want to have that type of a discussion with MDU in an informal hearing or a work session or something of that nature.
No, I think that makes perfect sense, a first step. I'm surprised they're behind, but it's good awareness.
It's on their testing program, yeah.
That's fine by Randy. Is that fine by you?
I think it's a good idea.
Did I summarize that correctly, Pat? Okay.
All right, perfect.
We didn't have your pre-filed testimony yet and what you wanted to do.
Okay. All right, perfect. I had two things I wanted to add, and the first is more of just a first staff ticket for what it's worth. The our budget, we've obviously prepared our budget, had it blessed by the legislature. We're in the middle of the budget execution. But the last biennium, we had these ERA dollars, so we had basically unlimited dollars for training. And so I think we got a little bit lax on predicting what we're going to need for training, so because we had so much money because of those dollars. We don't have ERA dollars anymore, so what I would like everyone to do is all the different directors figure out what you think you're going to need for your specialized training that you have to have or things like that, and then submit it, give it to me for a first look, then I'll have a meeting with the business group, and then we might have a full commission meeting. But I'm just concerned that we don't have a good plan of our training, so we would over-obligate our budget because we're so used to having so much money in there for training. It came to head kind of because Ryan, just to pick on him, is the new guy. But perfect case, new employee, he's got a variety of training he has to complete, so we need to make sure that legal and PUD have the budget put into place. The commissioners, we have our own budget that we're tracking. Even commissioners, we're tracking our budget closer because it's just a good idea. So that was any questions from all of you or comments from my colleagues on that? All right, pretty cut and dried. Julie wants to talk strategic planning discussion, but I think we'll do that at the end. That's
yep.
Okay.
I have two things.
So anything else that we need to discuss?
I have two things.
Two things. Okay.
One, I noticed this notice on the biennial reports came out. What's, having not done this before, it's due at the Secretary of State for at the end of the year.
Mr. Nitschke should be well involved, deep into that.
Okay, now. That's underway. Okay.
But the point, though, is that it's the first time that two commissioners have seen it. Maybe, Daryl, you could walk through and show them what we did last year, because we tend to get in the rut of, we did it last year, we update the numbers, and we resubmit it.
And it's every 2 years?
2 years.
Every 2 years? Every biennium? Okay.
I will do that. Do you want me to do that now? Or
no.
I don't have the information.
Just sometime.
I will do that.
Okay.
And then my next matter is on after the implementation of 1147, which tweaked our rules, are the laws regarding the siting of pipelines and any route changes during construction. So the legislature made some changes. We, staff, and I worked on some procedures for implementing that law. And before we did that, I had hoped to meet with the companies, have kind of give and take, but there was too many applications underway that we just kind of needed to get some things going. So we did that. Now the companies would like to come back and say, we've worked with this some, we don't like this, we like this. They'd like to have some give and take. So they've kind of requested an informal hearing on the implementation of 1147 as a tool for them to offer their input. I think it's a good idea. It would be a way for staff to have the discussion with all of the commissioners all at the same time, so we can kind of hear them out and see what, if anything, we can do to sort of accommodate some of what they see as being some of the challenges with what we've proposed. So if that's all right with you guys, we've tentatively looked at October 9th. There's an informal hearing set that afternoon, and near as I can tell, there's nothing on the agenda for that yet. So that would be the date I would propose.
So should we go right into scheduling if that's your last discussion item?
Sure.
All right, let's just go right into scheduling then, and we'll start with that first item since it's already out there. You said October 9th.
It's the commission meeting day, and that's informal in the afternoon, is already on our calendars.
Okay. I'll shut down my NFL app so I can get to my calendar. Okay. So you'd propose doing it at 1:30 or?
1:30 on October 9th.
Okay. Does any staff have anything they were going to be doing at 1:30 for the informal that you knew of? Jerry, I'm looking at you. All right, Pat. No, that sounds great then.
Okay.
And if we do have an informal, we can just still use that. Will you say an hour, Julie, or?
Are you wondering if there's something that we have scheduled for the informal?
Yes, on October 9th. Okay. All right, so could we do that at 1:30? And would 3 o'clock be okay, Julie, for this? So we could do the informals, whatever we have, from 1:30 to 3. 3 o'clock we pick up with the 11:47 discussion. Does that sound reasonable?
Could we do it in reverse?
I don't know. Pat, does the companies have a preference?
Well, this was the question about if we don't have them first, then they're always waiting.
But if we announced this as 1:30 for the October 9th, we did, right?
Well, it's always at 1.
Right.
No. Well, the agenda for it hasn't been announced, so we could change the time. And
right.
I don't think it matters. Do you want to go 1:30 with the company, or with the 11:47?
I think it would accommodate some of the folks might be coming from out of state. Okay. And
well, the Griggs County and Moore and Liberty, is that something complicated, or is that going to be a 10-minute thing?
It'll be short. It might be a half hour, but it'll be short.
Why don't we start at 1 and have them, and then do 1:30, or immediately following that hearing, do the 11:47.
That's fine. Patrick, that work?
Okay.
All right, Esther, you got that? So 1, and then we'll do the 11:47 immediately following. Alana?
At 1:30. We have to give it a time.
Okay, 1:30. All right.
Or 11:47.
All right, for 11:47. So 1 o'clock informal, 11:47. All right, let's go back to the top again. Mr. Call would like to schedule a meeting with our our IT consultant, our computer guru.
Yeah, I'd actually like to schedule two meetings, one
okay.
of them with the commission so that we as
get our ducks in a row.
What we're going to do
okay.
and who we're going to have in place. So both of those I would like as soon as possible. Jim will be gone until Monday, so.
Right.
The consultants prefer Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Well, the way I see the calendar for Annie and Julie, we're shot next week.
First Tuesday or Wednesday would be the 24th.
Right. I was just thinking that the 24th would work for me, if that would work for Andy.
It does. How long of a meeting do we need, Steve?
I'm not too sure. The meeting amongst PSC staff and the commission, I'm guessing an hour, hour and a half at the most.
Could we go the 23rd in the afternoon for the PSC people and then 24th with the consultant? Does that work for you guys, Randy?
You mean us with the consultant on the 24th?
You want to? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would.
Would that work?
Is that soon enough?
Yes.
Okay. It works for me.
So what time, Monday afternoon?
We're not going to the Monday afternoon one, though.
Well, I would think we'd want to be part of the PSC both? Discussion.
Yes.
Do they want to be here two separate days?
No.
Steve's talking that on Monday we all talk, so we're all speaking with the same voice
when
we talk to the consultant on Tuesday. So where the three of us aren't arguing about what we think IT should have.
I see. Okay.
We can do that Monday afternoon.
Plus you'll have, I would think maybe we should push off meeting with the consultant depending on whether or not we determine we should bring in others outside of PSC as part of our discussion.
How about the 20th? Are you gone?
20th works.
I'm busy the 20th. I'm gone.
Will we have time to work that discussion amongst ourselves in during strategic planning?
We could.
Let's do that.
Okay, good
call. At the end of the 17th or 18th?
Yep.
Okay. So let's just say the end of the 17th then. How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay. And then
I will try to set up the 24th. Do you have a preference on time?
I'm free all day.
Me too.
Right, Julie?
Yeah. Anything before 3.
10 o'clock.
And not noon.
My favorite time.
Thank you.
Okay.
What time did you say? The 10th? On the 24th?
10 o'clock. Unless you want something different.
Nope, that's good.
Okay. Okay, next thing. These are things that the commissioners have put in there, and myself being included. How about a work session on the rate case? Do we need to schedule that? Alana, you're our lead attorney on that one. Do you think it's worthwhile to schedule something on the rate case? And it can be out there a ways.
Well, it depends. It depends on whether you want the work session for feedback, your initial feedback, issues you want us to research, you know, unrelated to what the parties end up filing as proposed findings.
Okay.
I think that would be helpful. And while it's fresh in your mind, as far as like what to do with the order or whatever, I think that has to be out of ways.
Sure. Well, I guess I would like to get together the three of us to talk about it, just to see what we agree on and don't agree on, and it'll send some signals to those that are listening to what we're thinking, I think, very quickly.
That would be fine.
And so could we do that?
Simplify the hard issues and the easy issues for staff to work on.
You said you're the 24th, you're free till 3?
Yep.
Randy, are you available?
And I'm not over the noon hour.
Are you available the 24th at, let's say, 1:30?
Yep.
Okay, could we schedule that one, Alana? So we'll call it work session on XL rate case, whatever the number is for that. And on those same veins, should we schedule out a Basin 345 KV work session? Who's our attorney on that one? I guess
Mitch
is, but hold on.
I don't know when to schedule it for at this point.
Okay, that's fine. Since Mitch is there, could you talk to Mitch and have him get some gate in next meeting?
We're waiting on the company to file their stuff, and then we'll have to coordinate with Mitch to get a date.
All right, if you can try to get something by next meeting, because the schedule for us is getting tighter and tighter.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Jerry. Let's see here. Randy sent me a note about scheduling the hearing for NSP's ADP for those wind farms. Same kind of discussion.
Well, we had the discussion earlier about staff and what they advocacy staff and what they're planning to do. Do you want to pick a few days for a hearing?
Absolutely.
Do you want like late October or something, or in November?
I think the answer for me is probably we could schedule it, pick the dates, and then because if we don't fence them off now. So, like November 4th is a bad week because there's Basin Electric's got things going on. How about the 12th, 11th, and 12th? No, that isn't going to work. See, here we go. October 31st and November 1st. How do those two dates look, Julie and Randy? Schedule 2.
Good.
Well, Ilana, if you can't make it, we'll figure it out, okay?
Yeah.
That's just what we'll do.
This is for the NSP ADPs.
For their wind farm applications, yes.
The 6th, November 6th.
Well, let's maybe get to that, but the 31st and 1st.
I liked the 31st and 1st.
You said that was fine with you?
Yep. Sarah, do we need 2 days? But is a concern if Ilana's gone.
I think we could leave it in the schedule, and then if we don't need to use that second day, then...
Yeah, back to our previous discussion, we'll give ourselves plenty of time.
Yeah.
But, to Julie's point, Lana, we'll figure it out, okay? We'll see how it all plays out, because you have no idea what you're doing then yet, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have a time on those?
I'd say 8:30 till the end of the day, 8:30 to 5.
Both days.
All right. I got a phone call from Steffes Corporation. They'd like to come brief the commission on demand side management and how they do their energy storage. Just kind of an FYI. I thought that'd be.
Steffes.
Yeah, they do energy storage for water heaters, energy storage for space heaters. Really good high end technology. I've seen their stuff. It's pretty good.
Cool.
So they wanted to come in and talk to us just so we understood the technology better and some of the new things they're doing, and I thought that would be a good idea. So they were free October 24th or 26th. I think we filled up the 24th. 26th, how would that look for everybody?
Of October.
That's a Saturday.
Oops. Oh, you're free that day?
I don't have anything on my... On
I'm
my
sorry.
PSC calendar.
October 24th. No, I'm a whole month off. I was saying September 26th is what I meant to say.
Oh, I'll be gone the 26th, 27th, and 30th.
Okay. November 1st?
We just set that wind NSP's ADP on that.
Well, what about the first week of October? You're looking October again.
Hang on here. Yeah, I'm October 1st, but we set the NSP October 31st and November 1st.
Yeah, you said November. That's why we were confused. How about October, Wednesday the 2nd? The morning of the 1st?
The morning of October 1st would work great.
I have to leave at 11 for Dickinson, so.
So there's so much bouncing back and forth between months. Now, what was your suggestion? I'm sorry.
I don't know what I suggested. What I meant to suggest was October 1st in the morning.
And is that what?
And Julie works for her before 11.
Yes.
October 1st.
Yep.
Good.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
You have to leave at?
I have to leave at 11.
So let's go 9 o'clock. That work?
Sure.
9 o'clock. Okay, what did we forget? I believe that's it. Okay, Sue might have one. Anything else, Julie, for scheduling?
No.
Randy?
No.
All right, Sue.
Thank you. Can we schedule a work session for Mitchell Feeds? Probably an hour. Not this week. Yeah.
And what do we need the work session for?
Well, we need to talk about claims and other matters. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Might be executive part.
What did you say now? You just said next week?
God.
The only day next week would be Friday.
And
you're gone.
I'm gone Friday.
Monday?
Yeah,
the 23rd?
That would be fine for me.
Let me ask you this. The environmental cost recovery tariff and rates, is that likely to take all day?
It could. It sure could.
How about maybe late this coming Friday? What is today?
11? We're right, we have a hearing.
Can't.
We have a hearing Friday.
Okay.
So.
23rd? Monday the 23rd.
That's the first opening I see is the 23rd.
September 23rd. At what time?
Well, let's see if Randy, that works for him.
Oh, it works for me. But
okay.
You're trying to get it earlier. Okay.
I'm just trying to move these things along. But if that's the first we can do, that's
well. Or we could we do it? Is that?
I mean,
really, that Ottertail one will take all day.
I don't know.
We'd potentially gain a whole week if we could.
That's
squeeze in an extra half hour at the end of that day.
We can try it. Sure, we can.
Is there any public really having to do with that meeting? Do we need to have the time real predetermined?
For the work session.
For the work session.
Well, it has to be scheduled. You have to.
Could we set it scheduled for the end of the Ottertail Power MDU hearing?
We have to give it a specific time. But you can just simply say we're taking a break at 3 o'clock for the. And I honestly think a half-hour meeting, although
let's do that. Let's do it at 1 o'clock on that day. And then if we're still going at, like, noon for the hearing, we'll just have the judge break the hearing till 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then we'll have
Okay.
Then the hearing can continue, but that way we can put it in there at 1 o'clock as a set time.
What's the date on that again?
16th.
16th. That's a good idea, Randy.
Wow. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh. Me too.
The people of North Dakota, thank you. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Going once, going twice. Should we schedule a trip for the Mendolvian delegation to come back? All right. So, Julie, the coordinating instructions at this point are?
We'll take a short break, and then we'll gather. Is lunch ready? Why don't we just gather at noon, 12, okay, back here.
Any further discussion on the strategic plan?
We'll do that, the three of us. All right, with that, we'll close the administrative portion of our meeting. Thank you all.